Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Well, we have to stop people that have bad intentions. Guns, the story is always about guns. The people are bad. This guy's a bad guy. If I could take my gun off right now and I lay it on this counter, nothing will happen. It'll sit there. But as soon as a wicked person grabs a hold of that handgun and starts shooting people with it, there's the problem. The problem is the individual. Now, guns are a tool that people use to do horrible things. But it's the individuals that wield these things. So we are working hard to try to stop that. But in this situation, in this case, there was nothing illegal about him owning the firearms.
That was a really good soundbite from the sheriff there in Jacksonville, Florida, because really sad story over the weekend emerged. This actually started coming out yesterday. It was a Dollar General. It was a shooting at a Dollar General. And it was this, I think he was like a 20, I think they said he was like 20 something years old. He had a rifle and he goes into this Dollar General, and they already had this killer's manifesto. And he was apparently like a big racist and all this stuff. And it was apparently, according to officials, they were saying that it was racially motivated, and that was the reason he was doing what he was doing. He had a history, even if it wasn't a criminal history. He still did have a history, and we're going to talk about some of that, because immediately, as you can imagine, whenever anything tragic like this takes place, you always have this instant politicization of everything, and that's what one of the things that we saw here. But that was a really great soundbite. It was Sheriff T.K. Waters, and this killer, as I said, goes in this Dollar General, does what he does, because evil's real. Evil exists. Welcome to the show. Top of the first hour here on Monday. And just going through some of the things that happened over the weekend. We're also going to look at how the House is preparing for a fight when they come back. The latest with regards to Maui and more. But over the weekend, as we said, and I really like this sheriff who just spoke. He immediately held a news conference. They immediately gave out information. You realize that we already have, apparently, this dude's, his manifesto. Don't have anything on Nashville, because it's politics. It's political. It's because the Nashville murderer was a trans activist. And so that's why let's be honest. It's because it's political. So this sheriff immediately comes out, and I think he won a special election. He's been in his position for about a year, and he immediately went into it and was telling the press, look, this is, you know, it's the individual. And I'm glad that he said that, because you're going to keep, I mean, I hate to say it, but you're going to have, as long as you keep ignoring why evil does what evil does and that evil exists, then you're allowing evil free reign to do whatever. That's the truth of it. So he showed clips to the press. They were very transparent. Immediately, you had it within hours. I think people had all of the information that they needed.
Yep.
Yep. Kind of interesting how that works. I'm not exaggerating in saying that this is it's political, the reason why we don't know everything with Nashville and we know immediately with Jacksonville. The killer was a prohibited possessor. So this dude had been involuntarily committed. I don't know if you were aware of this or not. The media doesn't really like to report stuff like this. I know one of my friends, John Lott, had also run this down. He had been involuntarily committed a little while ago. Here's the thing with prohibited possession. There are a number of things that can make you ineligible for purchase or carry, and one of those things is being involuntarily committed unless you go and you legally revoke that, essentially, put it in layman's terms. But this, this individual should, I don't know how he went and purchased anything legally, because when you're if you've ever been involuntarily committed, and that's actually one of the questions that they ask you in your 4473, verbatim, have you ever been involuntarily committed? And that is a disqualifying factor unless that has been legally remedied or expunged, something like that. But he had been involuntarily committed. He had issues. The family was aware that he had issues. I mean, clearly. So the fact that that had already been done, that action had already been taken, says a lot. So this individual should not have had been able to go and purchase and carry anyway. And like I said, that's when you fill out the form to purchase the firearm, 4473. That's one of the first questions that's asked. And I think there was also some questions as to whether or not, there's like a domestic violence accusation, all this stuff. But bottom line is that criminals don't follow laws. That's why they're called criminals. You can pass whatever law that you want to, but if a criminal is going to disregard it, because that's the nature of being a criminal. But you had Joe Biden who issued, how long did it take Biden? I was thinking about this. It took him a long time to say anything about Nashville, didn't he? And then when they said something about Nashville, they made it like don't target the trans community or something, and pretty much ignore the deaths of the Christians, the children, right? That's the way I remember it. But he was out, gosh, like an hour after this. People were immediately, oh, it's white supremacy, it's racism. Here's the thing. I could sit here. I'm not going to do this because I think this is dumb. I could, though. I could sit here and I could go through the press. I could talk about the black criminal that killed four white people just a couple of weeks ago. And I could sit here and scream about racism. I could focus all the crime on either black on white crime, white on black crime, etc. And I could sit here and go through it down and down and down. Then I could go and look at Chicago and say, oh, black on black crime. Look at all the look at all of the other black innocent people that other black criminals kill. I could do all of that, but it ignores the problem. People can be evil. Evil is real. You don't need to sit here and break it down by racial boundaries to justify it. And all of these cretins out there who immediately go out and act like this is somehow indicative of like we're back in the 40s and 50s or something and earlier. We're back in the that's so dumb. There is, I think, a racial hustling poison in society. And I think it's people like, some of the talking heads on MSNBC. Some of the people who see racism in absolutely everything. If you disagree with someone, you're racist. I mean, for crying out loud, under Barack Obama, if you disagreed with the health care plan, if you disagreed and you objected to government controlling your health care and kicking you off your private plan that you could afford and putting you on a crappy government plan like the one I was forced onto and losing all your doctors and all that stuff, if you disagreed with that, you were literally called a racist. They actually ran on that. They made commercials. You all remember this. So mere disagreement is racist. I mean, you have had far left progressives and hustlers who have been pushing this for so long. But like I said, I could go down. I could look at all of these crimes. I could look at, black on white, white on black. But that's so stupid. That's what racists do. That's why the racists are on MSNBC and CNN. Evil's real. Bottom line. Evil is real. I mean, the push from some, like, who is this one chick? She is she's like a talking head on MSNBC. She writes something. I don't even care. I don't even care. These people who sit here and pull this point, I just don't even care for their opinions. Flush. I don't care. But I see some people on the right doing that. I'm like, but it ignores the point. Yes, we know the media is going to try to use whatever it can to help the left or to push a specific narrative. But I am not going to start pretending that evil isn't real. Now, Ron DeSantis was I appreciate that he did this. I mean, some people won't show up to a debate. He showed up to the Jacksonville. They had a they had the governor out. Lawmakers in the area asked for the governor. The governor and the first lady of Florida showed up. It was on Sunday. And the victims, three of the victims that were killed by this murderer, just included a very young 19-year-old. So sad. And showed up. And I thought, you know, I thought that this was a good thing that he did, that he showed up, because he knew, I think he knew that he was going to get some of the, some of the people were loud and they were heckling him. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 7. I think he's pretty clear on this.
Before I get into those details, I would like to say a few additional words about what happened in Jacksonville yesterday. Florida, the state, and its people condemn the horrific racially motivated murders perpetrated by a deranged scumbag in Jacksonville at the Dollar General store. Perpetrating violence of this kind is unacceptable, and targeting people due to their race has no place in the state of Florida. Casey and I extend condolences to the victims of their and their families on behalf of the entire state of Florida.
So he had a press conference. They're getting ready for a tropical storm. And then he did the press conference and mentioned it. And then he shut. And then he went to Jacksonville on the invitation of lawmakers. And people started, some of the people in the crowd were heckling him. And he took questions, and because he's, you know, he's leading his state. You have, at a time, he's prepping, and I noticed this last night, and I actually thought, and we're going to talk more about this. I'm like, here's your primary right here, by the way. That was my first thought. I was like, here's your primary. He's prepping for a tropical storm, and he shows up to Jacksonville to speak with the community affected and knew that this stuff was going to happen. Meanwhile, you had Joe Biden taking two vacations while hundreds burned alive, hundreds more still missing in Maui. Where's the press on this? The press was mad at him. They were trying to say, oh, he went back to Florida. Well, he's been in Florida from the way I understand. I mean, I know that they're I know they're Pravda, but you know, you can look and see, like, on certain days maybe he'll go to Iowa and on other days he's back in Florida. But they were trying to act like, oh my gosh, Ron DeSantis caused the shooting in Jacksonville. In fact, somebody said it was your policies that did this. I'm like, what policy has any Republican ever pushed ever that allows someone to go and murder someone else? What policy is that, pray tell? Please share. I would like to know. Where is said loophole? But that's what they pushed. Now, while all of this is going on, like I said, they're still looking for hundreds of people in Maui. Joe Biden, he's back from his Lake Tahoe vacation. Did he get back over this weekend, Kane?
Yeah.
He didn't take any questions again?
That's correct.
As he got off Marine One?
Yeah.
No questions?
None.
Despite that some were shouted?
Correct.
Well, he's had a restful year of vacation, so maybe he's ready. I don't know. Maybe he's ready to do some work. He got booed in the Lake Tahoe parking lot, too. Some people are calling him Pilates Joe. I kind of like that. That seems like a nickname that works. He actually got booed in Lake Tahoe. C-SPAN caught some of it. They were booing him. And he, it's not going too well. Listen to this. This is audio. Well, no, this is a different one. I want to get that because they were booing him in this parking lot at Lake Tahoe. Yeah, do you have, okay, play just a smidgen, just a bit of it.
Obviously, I'm concerned. I think that there should be a circumstance where the jobs that are being displaced be replaced with new jobs.
Oh, wow.
They should go to the first choice.
Dude, he got booed hard. Oof. Because he didn't show up. He never shows up. We got a lot more on the way. We're also going to get into some culture. The vax is back. They tried going at Alice Cooper. Oh, uh-uh. We're going to have a conversation about that. You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time, and the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete, and still reigns supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations, and this 12-gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12-gauge pump-action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells, and with dual-tube magazines, offers a capacity of 12+1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KeltecWeapons.com and follow Kel-Tec on social media. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
Utility companies are having to navigate between their safety and government-mandated green energy transition. Is your local government pushing these ESG policies, which could make problems worse in a disaster? Don't let the government meddle in the private sector. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Bob Barker has passed away. Gosh, this is weird. 99 years old. This guy is the guy who got me through all my sick days when I was a kid, right? Like, you knew it was, I mean, you'd have your cough drops, your tissues, you'd have like your 7-Up, and you'd be watching The Price is Right. Bob Barker, he was, he's called jokingly the patron saint of sick days. The price is actually right. 99 was the price there. That's a horrible joke, but you guys can. Gosh, that's sad. All right, moving on here. Let's see, January. Oh, they set March 4th for 2024. That's the trial set for that's what the judge set for the Washington case. How many cases is he going to have? The district judge, Tanya Shutkin, set this. She said that Trump's attorneys were saying that the April date was necessary. She said no, March 2024. She agreed to postpone it slightly beyond, I think, what Jack Smith was proposing, and that was January. So it's going to be March of 2024. So just know, spring's going to be ridiculous next year. You just need to get prepared for that now. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be ridiculous. SpaceX and NASA have launched 4 astronauts from 4 different countries. Oh, hey, I just watched a horror film about something with space and astronauts. So at this moment in my life, I'm not too keen. U.S. wildlife officials stunned by environmental damage they say of SpaceX's explosion. Were they also stunned after the EPA dumped and all this stuff in the Animas River in Colorado? Or what about all the other times that the EPA totally screwed up and like poisoned people and killed livestock? I'm just curious. FDA's pet food investigation, apparently it's helping. They're looking at diet-related heart disease. I mean, you know, your animals got to also eat healthy, just saying. So they found 1,300 cases of heart damage diet-related, and they think it might be more widespread. So the FDA is looking into it. We got more on the way, including they try to go for Alice Cooper. Cooper is uncancelable, so don't. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Alice Cooper, such a legend. You know, he's like one of the nicest people you will ever meet in your life. I mean, in addition to being just like a rock pioneer and the stagecraft and the songwriting and the presentation. I mean, he's just, you know, he's fantastic. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. He also has a song called Only women bleed, which is what you were listening to. And this is one of the first things I thought, by the way, when this story exploded. Again, this started like on Friday, made the rounds over the weekend. I'm going to get really petty here for a moment because I'm a retired goth kid and I can. Okay, so there's this makeup company called Vampire Cosmetics. Now, the first thing I hate about Vampire Cosmetics is that they decide to try to make themselves stand apart by using a Y. Vampire Cosmetics. I checked them out. It looks like the Great Value version of MAC. And it looks like what all of the chicks who didn't make the flag team, so they decided to be quote unquote edgy, what they would use. Can you know what that's code for, right? What I just said?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay.
They make goth themed makeup. Gag me. Stop it. I looked at it. It's literally it's makeup for the chicks who didn't make the flag team. And they decided to be edgy as their personality substitute. So they, you know, Alice Cooper is Alice Cooper. He doesn't need their money. He's Alice Cooper. I mean, it's not his real name, but you know what I mean. He's Alice Cooper. I mean, this guy pioneered, I mean, he's a rock pioneer, but I dare say he pioneered goth rock. So he had this partnership with Vampire Cosmetics, right? Well, he gave an interview where he was asked about, or somehow it came up, the issue of transgender and the surgeries on kids, etc. He said that he thought transgender surgeries were a fad, and he thought that it was wrong, though, that kids were being confused. And when he was asked about it, he said, you know, he goes, I find it wrong when you've got a six-year-old kid who has no idea. He says, if he just wants to play and you're confusing him, telling him that, yeah, you're a boy, but you could be a girl if you want to be, he says that's confusing and it's not kind to kids, and he's not wrong. He says that it's absurd to confuse kids like this. He says you're still trying to find your identity, and yet here's this thing going on saying, yeah, but you can be anything you want. You can be a cat if you want to be. I mean, if you identify as a tree, and I'm going, come on. He says it's so absurd. He says it's gone out of the point of absurdity. And he also mentioned the woke thing, and he goes, quote, who's making the rules? He says, is there a building somewhere in New York where people sit down every day and say, okay, we can't say mother now. We have to say birthing person. Get that out on the wire. Who is the person making these rules? He asks. I don't get it. He says, I'm not being old school about it. I'm being logical about it. So Vampire Cosmetics, they were unhappy about his statements because they're narrow-minded bigots. They were unhappy that Alice Cooper thought it was absurd to push six-year-olds into mutilating their genitals because their parents wanted to live out their activist dreams or their Munchausen by proxy syndrome and pretend that their children were of a different sex. He just thought, it's a little too young for that. He didn't say anything mean. There was not a single thing in there he said that was mean. But Vampire Cosmetics really wanted, I mean, because your name is Vampire Cosmetics and you got Flag Team Rejects as your ambassador. So, you know, I'm looking at this like you really are thirsty for some kind of media attention. The fact that they got Alice Cooper to as an endorsement with them in the first place is amazing. I don't know how they accomplished that feat. So they decided to release a statement. They said, quote, in light of recent statements by Alice Cooper, we will no longer be doing a makeup collaboration. We stand with all of the members of the LGBTQIA+ community and believe everyone should have access to health care. All pre-order sales will be refunded. Vampire Cosmetics for vampires. So first off, cutting off your schlong is not health care. Unless it's a bomb and it's going to blow. And that's the only way that you can, you know, remedy that situation. You know what I'm saying? Taking some skin off of your thigh and fashioning it into a Frankenween and attaching it to your female copulatory organ does not make you a dude. That's exactly, I'm being very generous in how I'm describing that actual process. So that is not healthcare. That's actually the opposite of healthcare because you are creating a need for healthcare for life by doing this. So because he thought that 6 years old, because he thought little kids maybe shouldn't confuse them like that, You can't do makeup with him? A guy who can do makeup better than you? Because you all do makeup like RuPaul taught you? I'm trying really hard here. It's Monday, and I'm trying real hard. I feel like Sam Jackson sitting in the diner talking to Ringo. I'm trying real hard to be the shepherd here. They said all pre-order sales of their vampire cosmetics. This is like an unintentional What We Do in the Shadows skit. So they decided they were just, they're not going to do a makeup collab with him. Actually, it looks like a Pat McGrath ripoff, if I'm being totally honest. Like, you could literally probably get some stuff out of the trash at Walmart and cobble it together with some basic mineral oil and come out with a more pigmented, you know, palette than this wannabe emo trash, not actually goth, flag girl reject garbage. If I'm being honest, the same. So they said they described themselves as proudly women-owned, disabled-owned, and LGBTQ plus owned. Like, what else do you want to add? Stutter-owned, what else? Six-toe-owned, like, how? When do you want to stop it? Gets indigestion-owned. Where does it go? Where does it stop? I mean, I'm just saying, any, you know, halitosis-owned, like, where do you stop? The managing owner of the company said, quote, "We are queer and disabled." I'm not even kidding you. That's what she said. That's an actual statement that she said. I felt like I just want to stop there for a moment before I get into the rest of the statement, because I feel like that's are you dunking on yourself? Like, I don't understand what's happening here. And proudly neurodiverse women working around the clock to bring you cosmetics so uniquely packaged, you exclaim, holy crap, when you see it. That's her quote. Yeah, holy blank, that's horrible. That's my first thought. Now, we actually reached out to Alice Cooper. I met him once. I met him at a Comic-Con. Nicest dude ever. And there's no way he's going to, he just made one comment. He's not looking, he's probably, you know what he's doing? He's probably praying and then feeding hungry kids somewhere. Oh, I'm not joking. Like, he literally leads Bible study. You know that, right? He's a big Christian. He leads Bible studies. And every Christmas, you know how he, Alice Cooper spends Christmas? Alice Cooper spends Christmas feeding and personally serving hungry children in Phoenix. That's what he does every Christmas. That's like a thing that he does. That's how he spends Christmas. He doesn't go to Aspen and celebrate on the slopes. No, he literally goes and he personally serves and feeds thousands of hungry kids. That's amazing. Do you think Vampire Cosmetics does that? The audacity of a company that is grifting off of Pat McGrath and Mac and wannabe stuff, trying to cancel the guy who literally created everything that you do, is so unbelievably ironic to me. I talked about this on Twitter because this made me really angry. The fact that they tried to do this, they're an intolerant and bigoted company. And they think apparently that experimental medically unnecessary surgery on kids is the same as healthcare. These people are posers. And the fact that they are posers is measured by the fact that they didn't even know, apparently, they didn't know Alice Cooper when they signed up to do this collaboration with him. They didn't know anything beyond like a garden variety Google search. Otherwise, they would have become immediately familiar with his beliefs. Had they been actually familiar with him, or had they been real fans, like, his statement would not at all have been surprising. I mean, hi, only women bleed. Good grief. I want to make fun of this company more. Have you seen it, Kane?
Yeah, I did.
Is this the mean thing to do? Is it mean? Should I not? Because I'm trying to be nice. I just can't stand. You know what I mean when I say flag reject, right? Flag yes. Squad reject. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think they blocked me on Instagram. I think. I only said one thing to them. But they're ruining Silent Hill by trying to do a thing with Silent Hill. But I'm just like, you. I mean, these are all the chicks that couldn't get dates for homecoming. I'm being real. Juan's dying. I'm being real. It's for real. Right? It's like, don't sit here and try to appropriate, you know, this is who I am. It's not your costume. Don't sit here and try to do that, because you couldn't succeed anywhere else. For real. Your makeup looks like, your pigmentation looks horrible. Oh, yes, I am. Why, yes, I have a set of skills. I know gun law and I also know goth makeup very well. So let's not do this, vampire. Let's not. I just can't. Like, who is you, right? Who is you? This is Alice Cooper. This is like going up to Santa and being like, mm-mm. Like an elf trying to challenge Santa. Shut up. Who are these people coming out of the woodwork? No, I do believe that kids should be operated on unnecessarily without any medical reason. Good grief. All right, we have a lot more I need to actually move to because we've been discussing everything with the Jacksonville tragedy. Also, the vax is back. I saw this over the weekend. Biden's telling reporters that he signed off on a proposal to present Congress with requests for additional funding for a new vaccine. I never understood the whole thing with the boosters. Explain this to me. Because the booster was just literally the shot again. Yes. Right? What? Yeah. Exactly. The first one didn't work? Have another. It's a booster. It's just the same shot again. Oh, that didn't work? Go ahead and have another of the same shot. It's a booster. It's just the same stupid thing. What are you doing? We got to talk about this. Every day we hear about another familiar brand undermining their customers and going, quote, woke. Americans are sick and tired of having far-left propaganda jammed into every product they consume. And for years, they've dumped millions into far-left causes, and everybody had to kind of take it because you needed a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative. Well, there is, and that's Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the far-left propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responders. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana and ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Oh, and then I wanted to show you this. So this photograph, this is my mother.
Wow.
On the campus of Berkeley, protesting Birmingham atrocities. Look at that.
This is your mother protesting Birmingham.
He's got a mom.
So it would be around after 63 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. So you come from activism.
I was born in the fight. I was born in the fight. Jeez. How about that, huh?
I'm just kidding. Not really. I'm not at all. I just realized it. Al Sharpton has a mullet.
He does, kind of.
Now, separate to this video, I'm actually shocked that he hasn't entered in a competition for that. That is so party in the back, it's crazy. So, Al Sharpton, that was weird. I was disappointed in that they were not in matching velour tracksuits with Juicy written on the butt. I'm actually really disappointed about that. Welcome back to the show. Kamala Harris and Al Sharpton. She's showing it. That looked sounded and looked staged, obviously. Like they knew there were cameras there. It just is all so weird. People in D.C. are weird, man. That's weird. She's weird. She seems so fake. But, she was like, I was born in the fight. If he really, really, I think, believed in the stuff that he said, he'd be grilling her over her prison sentences. He'd be grilling her over her criminal justice policies that saw so many incarcerated in California. Like, for instance, and this is not a declaration on pot or anything else, but I mean, there are people in California that get hit harder with sentencing for pot than like other serious stuff. I've written actually about this before. I mentioned this in one of my previous books. It's just wild. The discrepancy between the way that she is AG. She was top cop in California. The way she pursued things, like, I guess it was because she thought they were slam dunks. And then more serious offenses were just sort of left to kind of just dissipate into the ether. It's just weird. But if he really believed some of the stuff that he'd be saying, he would be going after her for a lot of the policies that he protests today. Just saying. It's kind of weird. Now, coming up in our next hour, our second hour of the show, the vax is back. They're pushing for it, and they want you to pay for it, and they want everyone to get it. That's not going to happen again. Here's a question, though. How many people do you honestly think would go along with it again?
Too many.
There are people, I feel like, who think that they'll just go along with it so it'll be over. And I think, in response, that that's why they keep doing it, because you go along with it. But I just wonder, how many people would do this again? I don't think as many as the first time, but... Because did you know I saw someone with a mask? I saw someone with a mask the other day. I was at a restaurant for a friend's birthday, and I saw somebody with a mask. It was a young, healthy dude. I don't think it was immunocompromised. I just don't even want to give the benefit of the doubt anymore. You know what I mean? I just thought it was kind of weird. And then he was moving around. He was touching his mask and his face and all that. That's why I was like, if you were really immunocompromised people are real careful about that stuff. I mean, you can kind of tell, because I know immunocompromised people who actually do have to wear, and they have habits where they're very careful not to touch their face and do all this other stuff. That guy was not it. And I just, is this like, what are you virtue signaling? What is it? But are you starting to see it come back? Like the masking and stuff a little bit?
A little bit?
Oh, hell no. We're not going to do this. We got to have this discussion. Also, the difference between the media treatment, DeSantis and Jacksonville, and they were trying to get him on this tropical storm. Like, again, they act like Republicans have the power to go stir up the ocean and create hurricanes. And Biden and Maui. And we got a whole bunch of other culture. We got a whole bunch of things to get into. You don't want to miss, including the House. When they come back September, they're preparing for a budget battle of all battles. Stick with us. More of the show on the way.
What I make of that condemnation is hollow statements. This is a governor who has done nothing but fan these types of happenings throughout our state. Look, at the end of the day, the governor has blood on his hands. He has had an all-out attack on the Black community with his anti-woke policies, which we know very well was nothing more than a dog whistle to get folks up and riled up in the way in which it just happened on yesterday.
So this racist who was featured on, on CNN, says that that if you prohibit teaching elementary school children about blowjobs, then you're a racist. Did you know that?
Wow.
Because that's literally what the parental rights and education bill was about. It actually prevented sexually age inappropriate material from being taught without parental consent to parents' children. And it's interesting because Black history is actually mandated under the Stop Woke Act. It's mandated by Florida law. So I don't know what this hateful racist grifter is talking about, but she was clearly very excited to be given a platform by a cable news network to push that divisive and bigoted agenda. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. And that's absolutely true, what I just said, every bit of it. You know, this killer in Jacksonville targeted a different area? Do y'all know this? The killer in Jacksonville, the dollar store, that was not his first target. In fact, he first visited Edward Waters University, which is a historically Black college. And he was met by an on-campus security officer. Interesting. He was met by an on-campus security officer. And he didn't want to have a confrontation, so he left without incident. And the encounter was actually reported to the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office by Edward Waters University, their security. So he went and found a soft target. How many knew that? You mean the media that was too busy bringing on this ridiculous racist to talk about this stuff? They didn't mention any of this? You're kidding me. I bet they didn't tell you, too, that the individual was a prohibited possessor, having been previously involuntarily committed, which is a question they ask you on the 4473. That's the form that Hunter Biden lied on and got to skirt charges because he's Biden's son, if you want to talk about race. Hunter Biden is white, and he's Biden's son. That's why he got to skirt on that. And it's true, and y'all know it. The question, it's like the 14 or 15 number question on that form. They ask you if you've been involuntarily committed. And if you have, that's a disqualifying factor on your background check. No, nobody knew that. This individual went and picked a hard target. But I hear racists like this chick say this stuff. Isn't she a state rep? What's her name? Angie Nixon? Somebody elected her. Jiminy Christmas. The racist bigot, Angie Nixon. And she's I'm just curious, like, explain to us what one of DeSantis's policies, what is she talking about that fuels this stuff? I mean, she says, oh, she went off on the wokery. You mean the Stop Woke Act, which mandated education of Black history in Florida? You're against education on Black history in Florida? So that actually means that you're against teaching Black history in Florida if you're against that. So that makes you the racist, right? Or are you taking exception to the parental rights and education bill, which is about actually empowering parents to be able to make determinations on what is or is not age appropriate in terms of sexual material for their children in school? Maybe Angie Nixon wants to teach elementary school children about graphic sex that I can't even show you in our simulcast of this radio program because I will get in trouble with DirecTV and they'll pull me off air. That's true. I mean, they had a guy who was forcibly taken out by police of one school board meeting just because he was reading from a book that one of his kids found in the library at a school. And this was here in Fort Worth. People don't realize this. You wouldn't believe the number of people that I talk to who don't realize that we're not just like making this stuff up. These are books that like kids pull off of shelves in libraries down the road from us where we are right now. And this is the one that kicked it all off. There was she was in eighth grade and she pulled a book off a shelf, and it's a friend of mine. It is a mutual friend. Her eighth grade daughter pulled it off physically off the shelf. She was looking for another book and this was next to it. And she had no idea what it meant, what the title meant. It was the genderqueer book. And she was like, what does that even mean? And she took it off and it looked like a cartoon, right? It's a graphic novel. Graphic is right, because in it, it shows oral sex, it shows penetration, it shows all kinds of stuff. Graphic. I mean, it reads like the script from a porno or something. It's ridiculous. That was on the bookshelf. Her eighth grader could get it. That's not made up. And so when the mom started looking into it and other parents started looking into it, they found that these books had been approved in libraries all over the country. And then parents started finding not just that book, but a ton of other books just like it in terms of explicit nature, physically on the bookshelves that they could go and get. And they also found that kids had been looking at them, asking and talking about. And here's the thing, when kids read this type of stuff, they don't really necessarily ask questions about it. You all know, where did y'all learn your first cuss words? You learn it from the other kids, okay? This has not changed. And it's just crazy the way that the left approaches this. They act like this is not a real thing. So many people were unaware of this. So I guess maybe Angie Nixon, she wants your children to be able to learn. I mean, I guess, you know, I guess you agree with Angie Nixon if you think this is something your second grader should learn about, because this was in elementary school libraries too. It's not even remotely an exaggeration. If anything, I'm underserving the truth in this narrative. It is wild. To say nothing of, you know, the girls getting raped in bathrooms by boys who want to pretend that they're girls for a day. Angie Nixon just hates white people. Quote it, Media Matters, because she does. I don't know what else to say about it. Nobody talks like this unless they have a bigotry in their heart, unless they have a moral deficiency in their heart. People who have healthy hearts don't talk like that. people who don't have a rot of the spirit. They don't talk like that. Oh, he just has blood on his hands. Like, what specifically? Oh, I don't know. He just does this. That's not, that is, that's just reckless. And as an elected official, you have a higher bar to meet. There is more expected of you. You don't get to just act like a YouTube commenter. First, you don't get, you got to go above and beyond. That's just shameful. And it doesn't solve the problem. What's the problem? You have evil that exists everywhere. We were talking about this. You have, like, the guy who drove into the people at the Christmas parade, was it in Wisconsin? He was a racist and he drove over a bunch of white people. Because evil exists, sadly. I mean, we have a lot of these. But focusing on white and black and all this, you're excusing evil. Evil celebrates every time you do it. The devil cheers. He would much rather you focus on all of that than the fact that it's still just evil. Doesn't matter if it's carried out by a white person or a black person. It's still just evil. And how does someone who has been adjudicated mentally unfit to the point where they are involuntarily committed, and that's approved, how does that, and that was never cleared. So that was never, apparently from what I read, has not been legally remedied. So how does somebody like that get a gun? Nobody's talking about that because they're race hustling. They're too busy race hustling. That's sad. Nobody can have a real conversation about it. And that manifesto from that killer was out in hours. Now, what about the one from Nashville? Lorraine brought up a point. She was saying that the Nashville's manifesto is tied up in court. You know why it's tied up in court? Because they weren't releasing it, and a reporter sued for it. And so then the police turned around and said, well, because they're suing for it, we're actually in a lawsuit right now. So our policy is that we can't release things pending per litigation. So they literally made it. I feel like they did it on purpose. But you know why they did it? It's because it's political. Because this is going to make the Trantifa look bad. It's going to make Trantifa look bad. So they can't do it. But this one was out in hours. Evil is evil. Whether it's Trantifa, whether it's a black supremacist, a white supremacist, whether they got a rifle or a truck driving through a Christmas parade, evil is evil. This is like some Screwtape Letter stuff. Get everybody focusing on identity politics so they excuse the bigger picture. Just wild. Now, this, I'm sure more is going to come out about this. I mean, the investigation is still in its, you know, early phase, but due to the recklessness of our media, who are led by activists, you don't really get a lot of time. They immediately want to jump out and start politicizing stuff, unfortunately. And I do like the fact that DeSantis showed up in Jacksonville, even though they knew he was probably going to get heckled. He was, who is it? That one lawmaker was standing there, and I feel like she was trying to encourage people to heckle him. But he didn't care. He was preparing to stay for a storm, and he showed up, and I think it's good that he showed up, full well knowing. And he was right that no evil like this should be tolerated. I got to tell you, my friend Maj Touré, he does Black Guns Matter. He's like offering people. He's like, look, we'll come down. We'll train you. We will make you familiar with your state's gun law, all the gun law. We will train you. We will help you pick what type of firearm. We should get Maj on, actually. We'll help you choose what kind of firearm you feel most comfortable with. We will do this. He's got a lot of patience with people. Maj has got a lot of patience with people. He does this by himself. You don't see him on Fox. When's the last time? You've never seen Maj on Fox. You don't see an MSNBC. Oh man, he's a black man who's promoting Second Amendment. Oh gosh, we can't acknowledge that. They won't have him on. They only will have people that they feel like are moderate about firearms on. But he goes in, and his organization, they train people and make it to where they are not soft targets. And he's been offering this. You haven't seen the left mention this. They also teach gun safety, too. You haven't seen the left mention any of this. You know how many cities he's been in across America doing this? And he just does it because he was so fired up about it. So fired up about it. There are a lot of people that get out in this in different movements, and they're absolute grifters. He's not one of them. He really, you know, he like him and my friend Rick Ector, they really, in their hearts, they believe this, and they want to fix this issue. And Scott Pressler, they want to fix these issues that they see. But he's been out there saying, no one should have to be a soft target to any type of evil. And he's right. Now, coming up, what are you going to do if they start mandating vaccines again or masks? Do you know people that you think will actually go along with it? This is what Kane and I were kind of talking about. It seems like it's creeping back slowly but surely.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So tropical depression, what do they say? Tropical depression 10 is going to make landfall in Florida this week. They're saying that there is the potential for it to, morph. That's not the correct meteorological term, into a hurricane. But they said AccuWeather meteorologists are warning that path towards Florida. It's getting pretty. I love Florida. That always makes me nervous. It's a Dahlia. They called it 10, but they said that this one, it formed on Saturday afternoon with maximum sustained winds 30 miles per hour. It increased to 35. If it hits 39, that's when it hits 39 miles per hour, that's when they call it a tropical storm. So we'll keep our eye on it. They already have National Guard, everything at the ready. And then this, 111 degrees in Texas on Saturday, one of the hottest days in Dallas. Stick with us. We got more in store. Don't go anywhere.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
We are not going to allow these institutions to be targeted by people.
Okay, listen, y'all. Let me tell you, we finna put parties aside, cause it ain't about parties today. A bullet don't know a party, so don't get me started.
Ooh, she's gonna slap some people. Good for her. That was one of the councilwomen who came out and said, no, we're not going to do this because we want to address the issue. That's a woman who wants to solve the problem right there. That's a woman who wants to get the problem solved. She's not interested in hearing any nonsense. She's not interested in that. Good for her, though. She came up and stopped people from, because they were heckling, and it was all based on like party. It had nothing to do with party. Welcome back to the show. Bottom of this second hour. That was the council. What was her last name? The councilwoman. Jacoby Pittman. Councilwoman Pittman was talking about state funding, etc. And when some of the audience started to heckle, that's when she got up and said, no, we're not doing this. She's like, we're not going to do this. And I like that he showed up. Do you want to know where the primary is? It's right there. That's where the primary is. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I thought that whole exchange and her stepping up, and they were both there. They both think different things politically, but they have one goal right now. Trying to figure out how this killer was able to do what he did. And you know, he targeted, as I said earlier, he targeted a historically black college, but was turned away when he left, and he was met with security. He was met with armed security. And he thought, oh, clearly, because he left, but the security at the college notified Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. They notified that there was a weird dude there, and they knew exactly what to look for. They did their job. So this killer went and found a soft target. This 21-year-old. So I feel like this is, like I said, this is where the primary is. Compare and contrast. You have Joe Biden who vacationed while people were burning in Maui. And they still, hundreds of people missing. I'm actually disgusted at how low this is. I mean, if you look at, for instance, memorandum or some of this other stuff, you know what their top stories are? Oh, it's that the indictment stuff in Georgia or in D.C. or whatever. Oh, DeSantis is booed. Those are their stories. They have not a single thing in here at all. And memorandum tracks, it's very left-leaning, but they tracks, you know, the popular stories. Not a single thing in the, if you look at any of these news sites, they're not really talking about it anymore. It's like Maui. Oh, Maui's an old story. It's not an old story for the people who have nowhere to live. It's not an old story for the people who can't find their family members. It's not an old story for the people like the parents who found their son burned to death holding the family dog because no siren went off to warn anyone and they were prevented from going back to their home by authorities. No, 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 no. It's not over for any of them. That's just abhorrent. Biden's now finally back in D.C. He couldn't be bothered when he was in Delaware on the beach to have a comment. He went out there and fell asleep and got everybody's name wrong and then went back to Tahoe. Meanwhile, DeSantis is preparing his state for a tropical storm and also simultaneously dealing with Jacksonville. Now, they're saying that he legally purchased CNN, this killer, two of the weapons earlier this year. But I've got a lot of questions, and I'm going to have a piece that's coming about this, but the individual, what's ignored is how when he met equal or greater threat of force, he turned and fled. And then when he met armed resistance, when armed resistance finally showed up to stop him at the dollar store, he killed himself, which is in keeping with every single mass killer. People who want to murder other people are not going to be dissuaded from carrying out that horrific crime by a gun-free zone sign. And we all know murder is illegal, and that apparently didn't dissuade them from carrying that out. He has a history of mental illness. Nobody talks about all of these things. I mean, these are common variables in every single one of these stories. Everyone. Some were trying to say, oh, permitless carry went into effect. And? What does that have to do with this? Does that mean you get a pass to murder people? No. People who say that are usually the stupid people who can't tell the difference between non-threatening carry and, you know, someone walking around with the intent to murder somebody. Asinine. So I'm glad that the governor went out, and it had to have been uncomfortable. Town hall was uncomfortable, sitting in a stadium full of a bunch of booing, heckling people as the media manipulated them. But somebody's got to be the grown-up at some point, especially if you want this stuff to stop. Now, a few other things to touch on. I've been amazed by this story. Let me pull this up because this has been kind of entertaining here. You know the pattern that you've seen with all the climate protesters? They run out on the road and they try to block traffic. Y'all seen all that? So Burning Man, if the festival out in the Nevada desert has been taking place. Although I think, I'm just curious, it doesn't sound like it is as widely attended. But they had the climate protesters that were blocking the road into Burning Man. Now, elsewhere, you see these videos of climate protesters blocking the road, and it's usually people let them do what they want. They just sit there and they block traffic and they raise all kinds of hell. That is not what was happening in Nevada. They had tribal police. Show up. Rangers from a particular tribal department in Nevada, they plowed right through the climate blockade and immediately began arresting demonstrators. There was one tribal officer who got out of the vehicle and ordered a woman to the floor at gunpoint before telling her to stop resisting arrest. And all of the eco nuts started shrieking and hollering like piglets. Oh my gosh! We're not violent! They were screaming, we're not violent! Oh my God! It was all that. It was just crazy. They shrieked, they sobbed, they cried. And these tribal police were not having it. They were done for the day. I thought it was kind of funny because, I mean, you have Burning Man. And isn't it mostly kind of like white hippies that go to Burning Man? Yeah. And you would, well, if you had to gauge, Kane, the politics, just on average of the people who go to Burning Man. I mean, I'm sure there's some capital L libertarians there, but if you just had to gauge overall the politics of the people who attend Burning Man, what would you say they are?
Left of center.
Okay, yeah. That sounds about right. And the climate people, if you had to gauge their politics, what would you?
Oh, that would be, yeah, definitely okay. Left yeah. of center.
I like what my friend Dave Bird says. He goes, what makes this extra amusing is that the Rangers are tribal police and the backed up traffic is for Burning Man. Native American cops busting up a standoff between two tribes of white progressives is straight up comedy gold.
So true.
It is. And they're like, words fail. Words utterly fail. A police talk plot in a peaceful climate. Blah. So you have two groups of white progressives fighting and the tribal police show up and beat ass, basically. That's what it is. Yeah. That's hysterical. I could watch it on loop all day. Could watch it on loop. There's something about it. I think they need to go out and the tribal police need to go and start training other police departments on how to deal with the people who block traffic. I don't think that would work well in Texas. First off, I don't think these people would have the brass to get on some of the highways. So if you're unfamiliar with how Texas does highways, so Texas, although we're blowing through the all of our rainy day fund because we're having to pay for Joe Biden's immigration catastrophe, but there is so much of a budget surplus in Texas that we're just like, well, what do we need more of? Roads. So Texas does like supersized highways. There'll be highways with like 110 lanes on each side. And then they'll build skyscraper high bridges. And whenever my mom drives with me, if we have to drive somewhere and we get on the highway and we get on one of them big overpasses, she has to close her eyes because it goes so far. I mean, you are going. It is kind of unnerving if you're not used to it. I mean, the first time you drive it, you're like, what in the world? It's because they can. That's why they do it. Just because they can. This needs another big old skyscraper high on ramp over here. But they just have like tons of, they take their highways very seriously. And then you have the front road, the frontage roads, all this stuff. Yeah, Steve was like, I was freaking out, right? Steve, you know what these are, remember? Steve is from the East Coast. So you saw these big old overpasses, right?
Yeah, we don't get these massive freeways in the Northeast. You just get like two lanes in, two lanes out to every city. So when I went down to Dallas, it was very eye-opening. I was grabbing the handle on the side of the door.
Steve is, because it is, it's like it's, and then people drive crazy. So in Texas, you have to have a big car because everybody else has a big car. So I like to have the biggest car. And then I like to sit myself up pretty high in my big car so everyone can see it's a tiny woman driving a big car, which scares the hell out of the men and they all stay away from me. Because they don't want higher insurance because me. So, you know, it's like a safety precaution. But there, I mean, it's crazy. I cannot see these people. If they tried this, they would get beat down by everybody. Black, white, everybody. Mexican, atheist, Christian, doesn't matter. They would all get beat down. This is not going to happen. You cannot pull something like that in Texas. I mean, the highways, I mean, there's, you know. And in Texas, by the way, I'll add this. You might be sitting next to somebody in church and you're all are, you know, hallelujah and, you know, and put money in the plate and do all this stuff. I'm going to pray for you, et cetera, et cetera. You get on the highway. It is a whole new world. It is kill or be killed. It is eat or be eaten. It is like that on the highway. It does not matter where you're coming from. So these people would never, this would never happen here. Just like it never happened in Nevada. They don't have time for that. It's a desert and it's hot. Get out the road. They got somewhere to go. They don't have time for this. Jeez. That's like a dumb way to protest, too, by the way. You're not, isn't the whole point of protest to try to convince people to come to your side? Isn't it? Like, aren't you trying to persuade people to agree with you? Well, you're just ticking them off. How is that helping your cause? By just making them mad. Jiminy Christmas. We got a lot more on the way. Yeah, those Nevada Rangers, they need to go out everywhere and start training. Employee of the month right there. They're the employee of the month right now.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I mean, we just had a similar story like this last week. But I guess these people. So this pantsless Florida man, 71 years old, was caught spying on this woman through her bathroom window like a total creeper. So nasty. 71-year-old David Lee Henning snuck up to his victim's home in Seminole, Florida, just after 5 a.m. last week. He was secretly watching her get ready for work. Now, officers had been tipped off, and body cam footage shows the moment they pounced on him. He was, I mean, when I say pantsless, I mean all pantsless. And he had the audacity to go, "Can I please get dressed?" when cops approached him. Like, they were inconveniencing him. And they were first alerted because the victim said, "There's a stranger that keeps coming, trespassing on my property and spying on me in the morning." So he's been doing that for quite some time, apparently, sneaking through an enclosed privacy fence and then standing outside of her bathroom window. That's so disgusting. So they caught him. He resisted a little bit. So he got hit a little bit, had a little bit of blood on his head because he decided to F.A. and then he F.O.'d. So they caught him. So he's been arrested. He's put in handcuffs. He's been charged with voyeurism and two counts of burglary. He's held in Pinellas County Jail. I don't think people in jail take too kindly to, I'm just saying, you know, there's a commissary I got to donate to, you know, for some snacks or something, you know,
not,
y'all just
not
you know.
All old people are innocent.
See, Kane doesn't think old people are innocent.
That's not even what I said.
This one, a Florida man was caught, you know, if you're going to keep cocaine and fentanyl, I guess put it in your cookie jar. Collier County, Florida, 23-year-old Larry Chapman. Why do people shave the corner of their eyebrows like that? That's a whole separate conversation, but why is he doing the Vanilla Ice thing from the 90s?
Good question.
Why? They found almost 10 grams of fentanyl in a container labeled cookies in his driver's seat. And they arrested him 1015 Broward Street, Texas Avenue. They said that he was, not only did he have the fentanyl, but he also had cocaine possession. He had other stuff as well. But, I mean, obviously, even 2 milligrams of fentanyl is deadly. And they got 10 grams of it during their stop. And they said that he's been taken into custody. He'll probably, I'd imagine his charges are going to be pretty steep considering the deadliness of the drug that he had. Good heavens. But putting it in a cookie jar. He looks like a guy who is insulting Robert Smith of The Cure by trying to look like Robert Smith of The Cure. And it makes me dislike this guy even more. Just saying. A Florida man was caught injecting a chemical agent under their neighbor's door, and it made their baby sick. They actually caught this guy on camera. They have one of their, you know, one of those door cameras. But this 36-year-old, he squirted a liquid under their door several times, according to police. It tested positive for methadone and hydrocodone, and it made their baby sick. And it has, you know, obviously really bad side effects. But the family put this hidden camera outside their condo because they started smelling chemicals in their home, and it showed what this guy was doing, coming right to their door and squirting it literally right underneath their door, right on camera, multiple times. So this guy, he's in a lot of trouble. And they also said the condo association said he breached his contract too. So he's in trouble with the family and the condo association. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
Mr. President, can you say anything about the uptick of COVID cases and the new variant?
Yes, I can. Matter of fact, I signed off this morning on a proposal we have to present to the Congress a request for additional funding for a new vaccine that is necessary, that works. And tentatively, not decided finally yet, tentatively, it is recommended that, it would likely be recommended that everybody get it, no matter whether they got it before or not.
I think, you know, I heard the recommendation, Kane, is that people who suggest that we do this again, the recommendation that I heard is that they get bent. Interesting. I don't know if y'all heard that as official, like, medical thing. Welcome back. to the program, top of the third hour, Dana Lashier with you. That was the president saying, yes, he signed off on a funding request for a new shot that won't work, just like the last one. Yay. By the way, if you're joining us, you can listen coast to coast. You can join discussion over at YouTube. You can also find us at Facebook and subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter over at Substack. So is this going to be, so what gets me, Ken and I were talking about this last week. So they were coming up with the new shot, even though they didn't know what sort of variant was coming out. Is that correct?
Yeah, supposedly.
Okay, that's interesting. So how do you like sequence the genome of a new variant and make a shot for it if you don't have a new variant that, and you can't sequence the genome? I'm curious. How's that work? Any idea? Don't put it in Slack. Don't put your clever remark in Slack.
It's called a plandemic.
Oh,
that's what it is.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah,
I just that'd make more sense. I said this earlier. I don't understand the idea of the booster because it's just more of the same thing that didn't work. And we know it didn't work because everyone said it didn't work. And then they admitted that they literally never thought to test it to see if it would limit transmission. Okay. It's just, you know, it's the whole point of it. But whatever. I don't, you know, who are we to ask questions? You don't ask questions with science. You just accept the dogma. We all know this. Come on. So he signed off on a funding request for new shots that don't work. And he is recommending that everyone get it. I think back to everything that happened, and I know people bristle when I say this, but just to show you the level of the panic in the pandemic. I mean, it was under Republican administration. We had some stuff shut down in Texas. People were getting arrested just for cutting hair. I remember I asked my stylist, I was like, hey, do you want to come over to my house and cut my hair? Totally not going to tell anything because this is all BS. And she was like, I'm afraid because they were threatening people with taking away their licenses. Like if you were cutting hair, they would take away your license to cut hair, your cosmetology license. If you were doing, like there was a lady that got arrested because she was doing nails and wasn't some other chick doing eyelash extensions or something like that. And they got busted out in West Texas. And that's when they sent out the gravy seals or something out there to go and get them. Couldn't even get the damn bulletproof vest on him all the way. I mean, to two women who were just like doing salon stuff. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Of course, we're talking about the government that also did Waco and Ruby Ridge. So, you know, just saying. I just asinine to me. We cannot do this again. We cannot do this again. People were forever ruined. I know so many people who, if they weren't ruined, they went through their life savings to not be ruined. You were told that. Yeah, and the fascinating thing, and this is how you know it was all a joke. It was so important that you couldn't collect rent, but you still had to pay your property tax. You weren't getting those essential services, really, but you know, you still had to pay your tax. It was so important that people didn't have to pay rent, but you still had to pay tax. And guess what? The same damn government that's like, we're going to prevent you from working. We're literally going to seize your ability to earn an income, but you still got to pay taxes at the end of the year. That's how you know it's a joke. And the fact that there was never any, actually, I'm pissed that Trump didn't go, you know what? We're not having any taxes because we shut the economy down. Y'all aren't going to pay tax because we shut the economy down. Why didn't anybody do that? I will literally go to war over this. I have no problem with saying that. I will be out in the streets and it won't be like fun, righty, jokey stuff either. If we try this stuff again, oh, hell no. Not doing it. I see some people wearing masks again every now and then. I start to see more and more of it. You know, like all of the studies, we all know this, we've talked about it, but they have studies now talking about how dangerous it is because you're what you're inhaling, what you're forcing yourself to inhale. I don't think they're going to go so far as a mandate, Kane, do you? Do you think they're going to get that far?
I think they will.
Really?
I think they will.
Like mandating what? Masks and what?
Well, vaccination passes, probably.
Well, Ramaswamy will make some money off of that. That's great.
Yeah.
Because he came up with that. Oh, people can get mad. I don't know why people are getting a circle of fellation around this guy. I really don't. What's Republican about creating a digital scheme to track people who get the shot and who test positive for COVID? Because he literally made that and sold it. I don't understand. 59% death tax. You know what the excuse is? They're trying to say, oh, well, he was just thinking outside of the box. No, he was being a damn socialist. Don't sit here and try to gaslight me with this stuff. I've done this a hell of a lot longer than you. Break down this BS from politicians. I'm not going to get no neophyte political speak from a businessman who pumped and dumped with a stock on another big pharma thing. We ain't doing that. Oh, hell no. Stop sitting here and telling me that a guy who's pushing a socialist 59% tax is conservative. And some of these other conservative talkers, I get that y'all are so damn thirsty for clicks and views that you're willing to entertain this guy and softball question him. But can you, I don't know, like meet the bare minimum measure of your conservative title and maybe talk about some of this other stuff that is out there that you're too afraid to because you're scared of your audience like a flipping coward? Can we talk about it for a second? I don't want to name names, but half of these people, if you're scared of your audience, you're a crap host. If you're doing it for clicks, you suck. How about that? I get so aggravated at this stuff. People shoving this guy down my throat. A damn socialist. The guy who legit is making money with communist China. He's got Chinese subsidiaries. He's got stake in the company that is suing over mRNA tech right now. Yet I'm supposed to bow down and be like, oh my gosh, he's brand new and he seems energetic. So that, I mean, hell, if that's all it takes, man, the devil's going to have a hell of a time right now. He's going to have a field day. That all it takes is to just talk slick and seem like you got energy. It doesn't have to be personal, but I'm telling you what, when you're talking about databases of people and you're talking about taxing my cash, I get very stepbrothers about this. This is Catalina wine mixer. This is my nut. And you're talking about taxing it. Yeah, then I get a little personal with it. And you should too. Demand more for yourself. Is really conservatism and the idea of limited government so pathetic and weak and anemic that that's all you got? Jeez. So yeah, I get a little salty about it. Still having trouble getting him on, Kane? Is that what it is? We've had him on twice already. Yeah. It's weird, right? I don't know. No. I just get aggravated about it. I get that, you know, I'm paid to have opinions and I'm paid to be very honest with you. I'm not paid to blow smoke up your backside. But I don't get it from this dude. All right, a couple of other things I want to hit. Because we got Stephen Yates coming up here too. We got to talk about this sorority thing. Please tell me that. Oh, man. This sorority. So Wyoming, University of Wyoming, they're forcing these girls. They brought a lawsuit. Kappa Kappa Gamma sued the national leadership of their sorority because they are being forced to accommodate a male. The sorority at the University of Wyoming is going to accommodate a 6'2" male who is in woman face after the state district court rejected their lawsuit. They said they were discomfort with the presence of Artemis Langford. They said that he watches them undress with an erection. The judge dismissed the case, Westonbrook versus Kappa Kappa Gamma, on August 25th. The judge said that redefining woman to include males was their bedrock right as a private voluntary organization. And they said that they have to accommodate him. Even though their bylaws state that the new member shall be a woman, they're being forced to redefine what is a woman. And they said that they were, it sounds like a campaign of harassment against the women who are voicing concern about it as well. And he's attracted two women, and he's admitted this before. On his own Tinder profile, which he still has up, he says he's, quote, sexually interested in women. Remember, because you can cosplay as a woman, but you can still be attracted to women if you're a dude. And all of these women in the sorority came forward. They said that he sneaks in and watches them in the bathroom, that he walks around in tight leggings so they can see his erection. They said that he makes inappropriate comments all the time. He asked them about their breast sizes. Oh my gosh, it's so bad. Some of it I can't actually say on air. Some of the things that he said to them. Multiple women testifying under oath, under threat of penalty. And they're told to shut up and accommodate it. That they're the bigots if they don't allow themselves to be objectified by this man in woman face. That they're the bigots if they don't submit to the sexual abuse campaign against them carried on by this man in woman face. To the point where I've always said, if men who wear woman face, if they claim discomfort, they're accommodated. If women claim discomfort, they're abused as bigots and forced into compliance. Where are all the feminists? Oh, they're too busy trying to swear fealty to the dudes. Because that's... I feel bad for these women. I mean, what is your what's your recourse? You basically have to leave your sorority. You can't stay there. How is this not objectification? This is just amazing to me. They said that they accused the women of doing this for their own political purposes and that they're dehumanizing him and bullying him on the national stage. They're making him, the 6'2" dude, out to be the victim after he has sexually objectified. And it sounds pretty abusive, in my opinion. But he's still attracted to women. How is this safe? Where's the concern for the safety of women? If this was your wife, your girlfriend, or your daughter, would you be comfortable with them being subjected to this? We have headlines on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently France has a surplus of wine, too much wine, in fact. And they're paying millions to destroy the leftovers. They're going to destroy enough wine to fill more than 100 Olympic-sized swimming pools. It's going to cost them $216 million. Or you could just send it to me. And I'm surprised mom's demand hadn't drank at all, in fact. It's actually getting more expensive to make wine, and so people are drinking less of it. This is a terrifying concept. Because this is like, you know, this is one of the things that unites everybody, right? You don't have a lot of water cooler kind of stuff anymore, or at least wine barrel stuff. So they said, like, for instance, some of the famous wine producing regions like Bordeaux are struggling because people are not drinking as much wine. Decline is not new. This has happened before. It kind of goes. There's an interesting story that I read over the weekend that targets or that tracks and looks, you know, highs and lows and economics and wine consumption. And that's, you know, I think kind of like for a number of related things, like people go for cheaper liquor. That's fine. But I think it's too early to make a big grand sweeping declaration about the end of wine, though, but it still is. You know. Put pest animal species on the pill. Don't cull them, says a scientist who apparently has no idea what it means to have land management, especially if you're dealing with, like wild hogs. He's saying put them on the pill. So big pharma gets to make a ton of money and you get to spend the manpower and all of the stuff to put these really, shut up. This is so dumb. Cull them. You have to have her because they still eat and they still cause devastation. You know, good grief. That's just a dumb.
I love the meat.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, it is gamey. If you get a wild hog, it's a little gamier. That's why you got to domesticate it and make it all pink and purdy and get it tasting good on grain. You do. You could let them go on the wild and they get all hairy and toothy. It's crazy. A man got struck by lightning twice in 5 minutes. This is wild. A Chinese man considers himself lucky. He got hit twice in a 5 minute span in one thunderstorm last month. And he lost consciousness and fell to the ground. And then he barely had time to register what happened when he got knocked out again. What did this guy do to make the Lord angry? I'm just wondering. Let's see. This, if you would like to spend $450 for a unique picnic dangling 295 feet over a thundering waterfall, well, guess what? You are in luck. It is a Brazilian adventure farm. They're offering just that. You literally sit suspended, hanging over a waterfall, and you have a picnic.
No.
But don't fall or drop anything because it'll plunge into the water. Stephen Yates up next. Stay with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here. Bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, and you can watch the simulcast on YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 347 DirecTV. We're following this story. Not a lot of really information out at all. Just keeping an eye on it. UNC Chapel Hill, there were reports of shots fired and police are involved. There's conflicting reports as to whether or not the suspect was in custody. So until we get more information on that, we're not going to speculate. So we'll just bring it to you as we get it confirmed. But just an FYI there. Last week, after, you know, going into the debates, the primary debates, et cetera, I thought there were two issues that really deserved more scrutiny. You know, obviously immigration, what was happening at the border, but particularly China. And there was a little bit of a back and forth and some touched on it. I felt like some candidates were trying to use the moment to flex instead of dive deeper on the issue of Taiwan. And this is all in response to some of the answers given by one of the candidates. And we've talked about this extensively on the program, Vivek Ramaswamy, saying that, well, you know, we'll just we'll tell China to lay off Taiwan until we get the ability to make our own semiconductors, and then they can have them. Like, he's talking about appeasement. And he was trying to compare those who were contesting this and disagreeing with him. He was trying to make the comparison to Ukraine as though this was some sort of like foreign welfare. It was just weird. And I think demonstrates kind of a crude, limited understanding that he has of the tensions and history of that area. I wanted to bring on our very good friend because we got this and other obviously issues to hit on. Our very good friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comms on Twitter, senior fellow at America First Policy Institute and chair of the China Policy Initiative. Happy birthday to you, sir. You're always so generous with your time. I would get in trouble with the fire in the studio, but I'm just giving you a fake cake right now, a make-believe cake. And the next time we see you, we'll celebrate belatedly. We'll have you blow out candles. But happy birthday to you. It's good to see you. I wanted to get your thoughts on this because I really felt that, you know, everybody during the debate was so eager to flex one on the other guy that we missed a crazy big opportunity to actually talk about what that meant. Because there are few options in this area, and we have made it that way because we've refused to take all of the easier options before we've gotten to the point that we're at now. But just kind of like your general initial thought when you first heard, well, yeah, you know, then after we get our own we can do our own semiconductors, then China can have Taiwan. I mean, that's what he said. And I thought that's appeasement. That's never worked. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, obviously it was not music to my ears. I'm sort of used to people saying things in sound bites and then wondering, where was the context? Did I miss something? What have you? I very much disagree with the idea that the only interest the United States of America has in Taiwan or the Communist Party of China is seeking to take over Taiwan is just, are we dependent on Taiwan for advanced semiconductor chips? And even if I believed in that kind of framing, one should never, ever give a timetable for appeasement to a dictator who is on the march. I mean, it's not as if Xi Jinping woke up today and said, should I be stepping on the freedom of the Uyghurs? Should I be stepping on Hong Kong? Should I be threatening Taiwan? Should I be supporting fake police stations in the United States? Should I give a little bit of COVID to the American community just to spice things up? I mean, Xi Jinping has been in an all-out assault on America's way of life and a lot of other people, and just saying anything that can even be misconstrued as a date certain for washing your hands and saying go for it is just an immense strategic error. So he had made some similar remarks related to the relationship with Israel, walked them back some. I'm not in the job of explaining or defending his campaign. But I think that it is dangerously mistaken to give any hint, even if it's by accident, that it's okay to just go ahead and chomp on Taiwan, because the 23 million free people deserve to buy greater self-defense, maybe start there. They deserve to have an even better trade and investment relationship with us. You'd think an entrepreneur might think and start there. Even an island that is very advanced in biomedical research and development, you'd think that would matter to an entrepreneur in that space. And I don't really want to rag on Vivek, because I think some of what he says in some of the areas is actually better than some of the rest of the cattle class of others that have tried to jump in. I mean, we really have a contest of three or four candidates, but there's 12 other people that have opinions. And really, when it comes down to this, getting enough time at the debate, I agree with you. It's kind of weird. You would think that a news network who'd been covering this would have asked the specific question, because on their air, the topics of China and Taiwan have been coming up a lot in the last few months. So it surprises me that the anchors didn't drive that conversation.
Talking with our friend Stephen Yates, and you can follow him at YatesComms on Twitter. Talk a little bit, too, about, because this is, and you mentioned this is about so much more than semiconductors. I mean, because really, isn't this kind of about, for the lack of a better way to put it, maritime status quo for South China Sea and trade routes? And there is so much more of an impact that I would say is as great as any kind of fear over, you know, can the tech bros get their superconductor? Can they get their chips? That stands to really just kind of, you know, stop the world from functioning as it is if we end up having like blockades, something like, you know, what they were trying to do to the Philippines over the weekend, which we're going to talk about. But really, there's so much more than just the chips.
There's more than just the chips. This is the general trade flows of the global trade. I mean, just not just what comes and goes to the United States, but what comes and goes to Japan, a very important economy, an ally, and a democracy. I would wager to say that half of the world's trade goes through those strategic waterways, whether it's around the Taiwan Strait, you're on both sides of Taiwan, or down through the Straits of Malacca and around to the Middle East. We're just talking about immense quantities of trade. That matters. It's not all about the money. It's about the livelihoods that depend on those kinds of things moving. It's also kind of the basis of civilization. You can't cede it to controlling autocrats and think that with no risk, you're going to be able to claw it back. There's just so much more to this. I just hope that it would at some point be a wake-up call to all of the candidates to say, you know what, we haven't gotten American policy right, but I think that we're stuck in an incomplete conversation about what is America's role in the world? What are alliances? There's sort of this stupid bipolar argument about, are we isolationist or do we engage the world? And life is never all or nothing. There's a lot in between. And it's the failure to talk about what's in between that is just devastating right now. So we should be doing more to help allies help themselves. I like them being more independent, but we can't think we'll be safe at home. And we can't even achieve independence on these things without still having trade among allies. I mean, are we really going to manufacture enough semiconductors to supply all of the free world? Because, you know, this is just kind of crazy talk by people who live in PowerPoints. It's not real world.
Isn't it true too? And this I might be a little over my skis with this line of thought, but I was sitting back and looking at this and thinking, well, if they're emboldened to really control and regulate, you know, maritime activity in this part of the world, what would be stopping them from, you know, increasing or introducing any kind of aggression in South America, like the Panama Canal? Because they do control, they do own the regulating entity for the canal, do they not?
They have immense leverage in our hemisphere, something that never should have happened. You would think that we would care enough to support manufacturing, processing, and other normal relations in our hemisphere. But for much of my career, the only regions of the world that our leadership tended to pay attention to were Europe, for reasons that frankly escape me, the Middle East, for reasons that should be obvious to anyone who's watched recently, and Asia. All very good cases for the Middle East and Asia, areas that could save or destroy us in some ways if we do things right, but we neglected our own hemisphere. And yes, China, Russia, Iran have been playing in a devil's playground in our own hemisphere. And that's on us. Mm. But we could have a fundamentally different relationship with this hemisphere. It would push back on China's encroachment in important and strategic ways. And yes, the Panama Canal should matter to us. Maybe we shouldn't have sold it. Maybe we should take more seriously the idea of improving relations to make sure that we can guarantee that safe passage for ourselves and our friends. I mean, all of this is stunningly simple, and it's kind of shocking that here we are in 2023.
Talking with our friend Stephen Yates, the BRICS invitation, the expansion of BRICS, that I don't think has enough people worried. And I am just, I mean, my jaw's kind of on the floor still at how that's not even above the fold in any kind of, no, I mean, I don't see any, really any discussion of it on cable news. There's not really a lot written about it. I mean, I realize that these are just invitations to expand, you know, I think it was to Iran, Saudi Arabia, and some other countries to expand BRICS. But I mean, it's, you know, it's China's leading the assault on American dominance and continued targeting of the petrodollar. Are you worried about this? Are you worried that they're, I mean, are they all going to, I just can't imagine Iran and Saudi Arabia both accepting an invitation to be a part of the same gang, essentially.
Right. Well, it's definitely a coalition of the willing to do things that are either anti-American or to frustrate what has been kind of America's traditional role. Now, one could question under the Biden administration, are we in fact living up to America's traditional role? And when that happens, with provocative weakness out of Afghanistan, weird entreaties to the mullahs in Iran to resume negotiations and failing to provide security for the region by deterring those programs, then other allies start playing other games because we are unreliable. Now, when I say the we, it includes all of us in America because we are stuck with the leadership we have at this moment. But if we don't start shifting course and have real leadership with real strategic priorities that that go back to things like the Abraham Accords in the Middle East as a different path to peace and prosperity, go back to actually reinvigorating trade among allies and development with Asia that leaves China out. There's a path for this not to be that big a deal, because this is a coalition of do-no-gooders. They're not really going to do a lot positive for themselves, but together they can frustrate a lot that will matter to us. And with neglect, it will just be an unforced error for us, and not in my view.
Yeah, I agreed. Well, last question for you. Over the weekend, Chinese Coast Guard decided to block a bunch of Philippine vessels. They near this disputed shoal. They keep saying that they own everything, basically, in this part of the world. They had U.S. Navy planes circling overhead. You had two of these Philippine boats. They went through this Chinese blockade. It was described as a pretty dangerous confrontation. They said that they were delivering food and supplies. Talk to us a little bit about this. We're fighting literally over a shoal. I mean, there's this standoff. Anything over there, they want to claim it as their own. It's like the seagulls in Finding Nemo. Like anything that they see on the dock is theirs.
Yeah, well, there is definitely an air of silliness about all of this, but there's also a whiff of seriousness in the sense that each of these little postage stamps of land out in a sea are used to kind of claim nautical territory. Mm-hmm. So the waterways around that area are part of the claim of sovereign control by the aggressor that says this belongs to me. And you string some of those together and it just looks like specks out in a bunch of water. But pretty soon you connect those dots and you have created a barrier to the free flow of navigation on the high seas. And if you're doing that on the high seas, that can also affect airspace. And so that has civilian and military consequences. There was a time when Secretary of State Hillary Clinton took at face value, and so did President Obama, a promise from China's leadership that they would not militarize these reclaimed islands in the South China Sea. And now we have satellite imagery of runways, buildings, and military material on those manned man-made islands. So a speck that doesn't seem to matter becomes something that matters over time. And I would also wager to say, if you're in the business of picking on the Philippines, it's pretty clear who the aggressor is. I mean, no one is out there spinning a conspiracy saying that the Philippines has some ideology that wants to upset the world and create a new world order. I mean, you're hitting the best karaoke singers the world has ever known.
Manny Pacquiao.
And some beautiful beaches and other kinds of cool stuff. Great food too. Yeah. But you know, they're picking a fight with a country that is not at all expansionist, quite the opposite. And it should be just be a litmus test for sanity for who's really talking about this China challenge the right way.
Yeah, that's what I think. And I'm so glad you put it the way that you did. I don't think a lot of people realize they see these little skirmishes and they kind of brush them off. But it's like connect the dots. I mean, that means those are no longer international waters. They have consequences. Happy birthday to you, my friend. And as always, thank you so much for being generous with your time. I don't know what we would do in a world without your expertise. Stephen Yates, as always, appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Dana. Take care.
You too.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
So the story that we told you about last segment, the developing story, shots fired at UNC Chapel Hill. Apparently, police did release the picture of a person of interest. Some of the early media reports are that they haven't released a name. It is, what did they say, anywhere between 25 to 35 year old, I think is what they had said, Asian male. And some are already finding, apparently, Twitter profiles. Just be very careful what you believe. Remember, first isn't necessarily best. We'll bring you any developing information, and I'll also follow along with it on Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. So you can, I suggest you subscribe there as well. All right, today in stupidity came.
All right, it is our president. He was actually in Washington, D.C. He was greeting back-to-school students while coughing into his hand and shaking their hands, which is really weird considering his stance on the vaccine. But anyway, he said this while in class, and he knows a little bit about being off for months and coming back to work.
The hardest thing, I think, is when you come back, what's the matter, baby? You look at me like, I don't want to be in this mess.
That part was also creepy.
The hardest thing is to come back after 3 months of not doing any work, not doing any homework, and all of a sudden, you got a lot to make up. Everybody has a lot to catch up.
Yeah, got to make up. You got a lot to make up for.
See, now you know why I hate shaking hands.
Yeah.
It's gross. I mean, and he coughed at it, and then, folks, that does it for us today. Have a wonderful evening. I'll be back with you tomorrow.